Well, hello, everyone. This is Jennifer Voss, and this is your recording on the ideal day. I'm with Michael Trotta and Gretchen Pisano, and Michael is going to be coaching Gretchen through her ideal day. And a quick note before we begin, you will notice that there is no role-playing here. Michael's not going to pretend that Gretchen is unaware of any of the Martha Beck tools or hasn't done a lot of her own work. He's going to meet the client, or he's going to meet Gretchen where she is. So that is one key thing that I want to point out before we even begin it. There's no role playing. So you might hear something different when Michael's talking Gretchen through this than you might hear if you're talking a client through it. Just to note, listen to the tone of the voice, listen to how real they are with each other, how authentic and vulnerable they are with each other. And then after the coaching segment, we will discuss different nuances of the tool, different things that come up and such. So you ready to go, Michael?
I'm ready to go. Gretchen, you ready to go?
Yep, I'm here. I'm
great,
excited.
Cool. Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you about that before we actually start. I remember when we were all getting together trying to figure out who is going to be doing what for our recording. I said I would lead the ideal day, and you said, ooh, I'll do it because I could use that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
You want to just share a little bit with me about where that excitement came from for this?
Yeah. I had a really incredible, powerfully experience with ideal day back in 2003 when I first went through training with Martha. And it was one of those foreseeing moments where there were elements of it that happened years later, but I completely recognized. And it's just been that long since I've dropped into that kind of a relaxed state and really used my full system or aptitudes to kind of pause and look into the future and dream. And so I'm excited about that. And I have a lot of trust, Michael, in terms of working with you as my guide into that, through that doorway. So it feels good to me.
Cool. Awesome. And I'm looking forward to it. So to get you ready, one of the things that I like to do with my clients, excuse me, is to kind of set that space so that they can relax. So I just want to make sure that you're in a place in your wherever you are right now that you're not going to be interrupted,
mm-hmm.
That you can be comfortable, maybe even lie back or sit back in your chair wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're ready, I'm going to ask you to, we're going to do like a quick meditation just to kind of ground you.
Okay, so just to give you an idea, I'm lying on a chaise with my feet on a faux fur beanbag looking at the woods. So I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm good, too. legs are uncrossed, legs out straight.
Yep, they're out straight, and I just uncrossed them.
Cool. Which I just, for the people listening, that's one of the things I ask my clients to do. Just to keep the flow of energy straight and clear rather than crossed and tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to invite you to just close your eyes.
Okay.
And just breathe normally. Notice your baseline breathing. Pay attention to the rise and fall of your chest. And in a minute, I'm going to invite you to take in a really intentional breath in through your nose. And then I'm going to have you hold it at its apex just for a minute, not a minute, a couple seconds. And then I'm going to invite you to release it. Let's just try one right now. So you're ready, breathe in through your nose. And hold it, release it. Just let your lungs completely empty out. And now with the next breath, when you inhale through your nose, I want you to draw any tension that might be in your body into that breath so that when you release it, it goes out. And as you release it, I just want you to allow your muscles to fade right into that chaise that you're sitting in. So ready, breathe in. Pull that tension in and hold it, and now exhale. and just let any tension fall out of your body. Let's do one more. Ready? Breathe in. Hold it and release. Just allow the boundaries of your body and the air and space around you to kind of blend. We're going to do one more breath, Gretchen, but when you exhale, in your mind's eye, you're going to wake up in your ideal day. And in this ideal day, it's a normal day. It's not vacation. It's not a holiday. It's one of those everyday days. But it's exactly the way you'd want it to be. And I don't want you to think too much about it. You'll wake up wherever you wake up in this ideal day. And I'm just going to lead you through the day, or you're going to lead me through the day. We'll see how it goes. And you're going to walk me through different parts of the day. And try not to censor. Just allow whatever comes up to come up. Because often during our waking days, we do dream about what we want to happen. But we're doing it from our minds, not from a deeper place. So we're going to be in that deeper place now. And who knows what will come up. You might surprise yourself. And while you're taking me through the day, telling me what's happening, I'm going to be writing everything down so you don't have to worry about remembering it. So here we go. Take one more deep breath in. And hold it. And release. Now, Gretchen, from your mind's eye, I want you to wake up and start off by telling me where you are and what you see.
So I am waking up in my bed, the bed that I have currently, and my blinds are cracked, so I can just see the beginning of the sunrise. The sky's quite pink, and my bed covers are kind of all crumpled around me, very warm. One of my cats is sleeping still, and my husband's already gone for the day. Like, he'd woken up earlier, and we had said a quick goodbye, and I had that luxury of kind of falling back to sleep for another hour, knowing that I had that time.
Great. And when you're ready, I invite you to just stretch if you want and get out of bed and just start walking me through your day. Where are you going to go from this place?
Yeah. So the very first thing I'm going to do is go in to get a cup of coffee. And then I'm going to take my coffee into my bathroom/dressing room because I know that I have like an hour to kind of move through my routine this morning and get myself ready. And my bathroom is really beautiful. It's just one of those places. It's just very open, lots of great light. It's very fresh. It's a great place to start a day. So I am going to I probably will brush my teeth, have my coffee, and before I start getting ready, I'm going to spend just about 15 minutes reading and kind of grounding myself for the day and setting my intentions. And then I'm going to get ready, I'm wearing cozy clothes today, yoga pants, great comfy walking shoes. Probably layers. It's spring. It's definitely spring. I could hear the birds, but I'm going to be wearing layers. And so I'm ready, and I'm going to head into the kitchen. I can hear my kids' footsteps upstairs. They're getting ready, and I want to be in the kitchen by the time they come downstairs so we can chat about the day. And, you know, my day just changed. So it's not a school day. It's actually a weekend day. And and we're having breakfast, and we are getting ready to go spend the day. We're going to be at a lacrosse tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my kids, it's my boys that are home, and I think they're like around 10 or 11, and they're they're coming down the stairs like super loud, like I can hear them just kind of sunking down the stairs, and we're just going to have breakfast to kind of get our stuff together. They're super excited about the day, and my husband is going to be meeting us at the field. And I'm finding myself just really looking forward to getting to spend the day outside, getting to spend the day together, and just feeling kind of pumped up by their enthusiasm for the day.
Mm-hmm. So what time is it right now? Place that you're at?
Yeah, I think it's like about mid-morning. It's kind of funky because, like, I get up really early, so I'm not sure what's happened between now and, like, 10, but I have this feeling like it's something like around 10 or 11, maybe by now, we're kind of heading out the door now.
You're off to the game. Is that where you're going?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, we're taking our dog with us. She's a golden retriever. She gets to go with us. So we throw all of our stuff in the car, and the car is our family car, and it's just kind of I think it's black, and we're just going to throw everything in the back and drive to the field, and the field is just open, beautiful open space, and my husband is there, and the team is there, and it's a very welcoming team. We say hello to everybody. We're well-known, you know, like we're friends with the people that are on the field, and just kind of settle in. I think what's really great about it is that we're just really engaged both with the relationships on the field and with the kids and the athletes. We're known to the kids as well,
mm-hmm.
And we're not kind of sitting on the sidelines. We're kind of actively chatting and watching the game, and it's going to be a tournament. There'll be a series of games, so we get to be out there for several hours. And then when we wrap up from there, we're heading off. I think the boys are going someplace else. Maybe they're going to go hang with some friends, and I am going to come back to my home office. And I have a couple of things that I want to work on. I want to touch base with the coaches that are collaborating with me. We have a big project coming up in the week that we're just putting the finishing touches on the design for. And I'm actually super excited about getting to make those calls. Like, it's really fun to talk to them. And the kinds of things we're working on, like, I kind of think back as I'm driving back to the home office that of a time when I was doing work that I was good at, but it wasn't nearly so much fun. And I'm reflecting on the fact that I'm doing work now that I just can't even really believe that I'm getting paid for it. Like, it feels so much in the sweet spot. And
Do you have a sense of what? Go ahead.
No, what was the question?
Do you have a sense of what the work is about?
Yeah. So, we have built a reputation for truly being able to impact organizations in incredibly positive ways. So changing people's paradigms, and it does a disservice of it to call it culture work because it's so much more than that. It's really about creating positive work environments. In fact, one of the things we've kind of talked about is this idea of home office environments, even in the less more traditional workplaces, so that people are feeling incredibly comfortable and have high skill levels as it relates to how they're interacting with each other and the models. So this has been a long-term project that we've been working on, and we're at a point now where, you know, we have very little resistance in the organization, and they're all in. And so this next series we're getting ready to do has some teach components to it, but it also has some experiential components. So we're doing some work around Equus. We're doing some work around some of Brené Brown's work that we've built in. And we're doing work with people that are not fresh, right? Meaning they're not brand new to the work. They kind of get it. And so this is like the advanced course. So what I like about knowing the week. What I like about the week is knowing that we're going to have some parts of the week that'll be in the kind of quote-unquote classroom, but also some parts of the week that are very active and outside. So that just feels really good to me. And we're working together. There's going to be like four of us on this one.
And so you're at this place where you're having this call in your office with them. It goes for how long?
Yeah, I'm probably going to have a series of calls. I think I'm probably checking in. We have one call that'll just be about maybe like a 90-minute call because we're putting the icing on the cake that's coming up for the week. And then I'm going to call, after that, I have two more calls to just touch base with a couple other coaches who are working on parallel projects.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll probably be in my office for a few hours. And my office is really warm. It's like filled with natural sunlight, so I really like that feeling when a room is warmed by the sun as opposed to heat. And so my office is like that. It has a lot of white trim, white furniture in it, and seems like the floor might be hardwood, and it might not be in my house. It might be like in another house, like a row house, you know, like, but it's not a residence. It's a house. It's a row house that's been converted. And so I'm going to feel good. Like, I feel good because I've gotten some, just remind myself of the great work that's happening around me and in my life. And then I am going to go meet my husband, and we're having dinner together, just the two of us, because the kids are with their buddies. And on the way there, I touch base with my daughter, who is, oh my God, she's coming. We're probably Skyping. She's in her mid-20s, and she's either in sub-Saharan Africa or South Korea. But we're just touching base to kind of, so she can remind me that everything is good, and she's going to be getting ready to come home in a few months back to the States and decide kind of what's next. So it's just nice conversation with her because it's important to me to know that not only is she safe, but she's really thriving. And then Mike and I are going to have dinner together and the luxury of having an evening with no plans after that and just kind of cuddle and talk about an upcoming trip that we are going to be doing. And I don't know where we're going yet. I think it's I think maybe we're still talking about what we want it to be, but it's going to be just it'll just be the two of us. And it's some place that he's never been. So it might be.
What about you?
I think it might be someplace I haven't been. It might be, but like I'm thinking maybe Italy or Greece. I've been in lots of places in Western Europe, but I haven't spent any time there yet. So it'd be something like that where it would be an adventure for both of us. And it's a little ways away. It's not like it's right there. It's not like we're going right away. We're kind of having fun still planning it and thinking it through. And I think
so
part
the energy
of it
behind
might,
the trip is.
Yeah.
I'm just trying that you're doing an awesome job. I'm just feeding the information. I just want to sell. But I'm curious about the energy behind this trip. You're saying it's not quite there. You're enjoying the fun of planning.
Yeah.
Anything else from an outsider's point of view? What's going on inside of you as you work towards planning this trip?
Yeah, I love to anticipate. So part of that is the anticipatory savoring, like we're really kind of enjoying thinking through it and what it will be like and planning it. There are parts of it that's going to include the kids and my extended family, but then there's a part of it that's going to be just Mike and I. And also really feeling like, gosh, but isn't it great that we're kind of at a place in time where we can feel really good about taking that time together and not worry about the kids, and whether that's going to be okay for them and, you know, all the things that come along with that. And so it's really, it's excitement and getting joy out of just even the planning part of it, the dreaming part of it. I mean, we love to dream together and we're good at it. And then it's super fun then to kind of manifest that when it comes together. So I see us, wherever we're going it definitely has sense of Western Europe, and it's not coastal, interestingly. I see valleys. I see us driving through valleys. I see mustard flowers, maybe grapevines, hills in the distance. They're foothills, though, not mountains. And we're staying in a villa. It has a fountain. And we have a lot of time. Like, it doesn't feel like it's rushed. We don't have that sense like, oh, you know, what do we got? You know, we only have this many days left. We have a lot of time. We're just really relaxed into it. Yeah. So we're really just planning that. But we have a place, like we've identified the place. We're looking at the house, imagining what it's going to be like. It probably feels like it's a few months away, but we know, like, what this place is going to be, where we're going to be staying, and we kind of have this mapped out. It's maybe we're going for like 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of, I'm feeling like I'm good. I'm kind of at the end of the day. Like, my kids are coming home that night. I know they're coming home, and they're going to be sleeping in their own beds. And so I love that, because I like to know all my chicks are safe. And so that's, you know, we've had this great evening and have great plans going forward. And I have this total sense of calm, you know, like I'm not worried about, do we have enough money? Are we going to, you know, do we have enough save for the trip? Do we have enough work? You know, it's just like really solid. It's not a sense of like, oh my God, like excess, we're just rolling in it, who cares? It's nothing like that. It's just really solid, like just things are in a good place kind of across the board. The kids are doing great, all three of them. Mike and I are having a lot of fun. There's like, we had put the sort of heavy years of the early childhood behind us, and we're laughing a lot, and work is solid. It's kind of, we're over the hump of cultivating those big clients on the front end. We have several long-term projects in the pipeline, and I just am going to sleep that night just really reflecting on how well I feel.
Mm.
Yeah. And so our dog is lying by the bed. Yeah.
Before we step out of this, because I heard you say I feel complete, with your eyes still closed, I want you to just be in that bed and really allow these feelings that you just described, the total sense of calm, feeling really solid. Everything in your life right now is in a really good place, with projects that stretch out in front of you and projects that you're working on right now that you're really, really excited about, knowing that the kids are doing well and are safe. And I want you to just take a deep breath in. And as you do, just ground that right in your center. And then when you're ready to exhale, you can exhale, but know that that grounded place of calm and of peace and of solidness is still there, so that you can use that as you move forward, moving towards this actual ideal day becoming reality. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's take that breath in, breathe in, and just ground it. And then exhale when you're ready. Leaving that place of groundedness within you. And when you're ready, if you haven't already, you can open your eyes and reposition yourself as you need it. Let me know when you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, now as modern day Gretchen right here, right now, anything stand out for you? Or how was it? Just go where you want to go with it.
Yeah, so it was really good. I thought beforehand, I thought it might be hard going here, and it wasn't. It was very free form. There are some parts of it that are already there. Like we were in the house that we're in now, and it was my bedroom mm-hmm. and my bed. You know, there was... there were no surprises in terms of kind of new people. We don't have, it was a different dog than the one that we have right now. So right now we have a German Shepherd. So that was different, different dog, different car. And what was interesting to me was that the boys were 10 or 11, so my boys are 7 now. So this is somewhere in that range of like 3 to 4 years ahead of where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But I could really see them. Like I could just really see them, how they would be feeling, energetically feeling, like when I heard them coming down the steps. And, so that was... That was just kind of, I don't know why that happened that way, just jumped to there, but that it did. And then the trip is something that we have talked about in the abstract. And so that was kind of neat to see that that was there and that, oddly, I could really see the house. Like, I can really, even just now, I can really see the house wherever we're going to be.
So it's not it's not the house here. Are you talking about the trip, or are you talking about
the house trip? The trip. Okay. This house where we're gonna be is like has terracotta siding. It has some kind of like the clay roofs. The fountain came out of nowhere, so that'll be kind of interesting. And I can see the valley around it too. So the sense, you know, I think what I would take out of this dream is kind of thinking about having manifested the things that I've been working towards and being in a pause place. Like I think about that as like what it feels like when you're in a glide place and being in a pause place in my life where I'm really now reaping the comfort. That's when I say like really feeling solid, it's this feeling of comfort. There's no try. I'm not trying, you know, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing is I'm there. And now it's just about, it's like the difference between pedaling a bike up the hill versus riding the bike on the momentum you've just stored in the energy in the bike. And I am at this point. Yeah.
So, okay, I want to just pause here and ask a question for everybody listening. Michael, you as the coach,
yeah.
What square
yeah.
is Gretchen describing in the change cycle right now?
I would say she's describing square 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
this is very much a description of square 4. So I just wanted to point that out for everybody listening because one of the things that, you know, is taught in the training is noticing where are your clients as far as the change cycle, what square are they in different pieces of their lives. And what Gretchen just described is a beautiful description of what square 4 might feel like. So,
carry yeah. on. And Javo, when you said that, I just got kind of zings
mm-hmm.
up and down, which happens when I'm on, when a right track is hit, is the way I describe it, right track. And so what's really cool about that is that two things. One, that for me, aspirational is square four. That's really cool because that makes me feel really excited about where I'm at right now, square three. Mm-hmm. And I also think that when I think about, wow, so square four in my mind's eye is maybe 3 years out, I'm like, oh, yeah. I like that. I like that because there I have moments of that now, but like when I can kind of really see that there, that just feels really good to me. It does it, and it feels yummy, like not bad. It feels yummy to me, like what I'm going to be doing between now and there. So,
well, so can I let's can we shift into now kind of opening up the space
yeah.
here to talk about the whole session and what happened? Yeah, you're cool with that. So as I'm listening, I am doing a little bit of comparing between what it's typically like when I lead somebody through the ideal day, especially somebody new who's more likely in square two, and they're in that place of dreaming what's going to happen. If in that situation, my experience has been that it's much easier to find stuff to work on because we're talking about taking something from the dream state into manifesting it. As I'm listening to you, I'm getting the sense that to focus on something that needs to be worked on in order to make this square four ideal day happen. My gut is like, that doesn't, it's not what's required. What feels more like what has to happen is an allowing of this square four. Like, and you can obviously tell me where I'm wrong, but I don't sense that there's a lot of work for you to do except to keep doing what you're doing and paying really close attention to the feeling state of this thing that you, this ideal day that you hope to manifest. It's just a few years in the future. So
yeah.
My question is, does that feel right to you, or do you feel like there's something that needs to be focused on?
Well, neither. So it, I think you're close. What I would finesse is that, so in square three, I think for me personally, there's a lot of trying. And the trying sometimes brings anxiety, like, and vulnerability. Is it going to work? Is it
right.
not going to work? Will it be worth my effort? Will I fall flat on my face? You know, what's the risk point in there? And so what really worked for me was at the end when you said, well, the two things at the beginning, breathing out the tension, totally worked. That was a great way to ground. And I noticed when I came to the call that my jaw was tight because I had had 3 hours of intensity this morning between getting up, getting my kids out the door. I was writing a proposal. Then I had a call with a colleague. And then I was literally 5 minutes late to the call. So that's like how I was like, whoa. And so when we breathed out, I was really able to notice, gather that tension and breathe it out. So that worked beautifully. Then the nice thing about that was the contrast at the end when you were focusing me on what the square four feelings feel like in my body, that really strong, stable state, and to hold that, not breathe it out, but to hold it. The contrast between those two is really useful. And what I would take from this is as I'm moving through my continued square three efforts, is to use today's exercise and that feeling that I held at the end to kind of keep, they're my ballast. You know, like the ballast you put in a boat to kind of help keep it even keel. That's what I can use as I move through square three when I hit that adversity, when I feel scared, when I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing, but I'm doing it anyway because it's worth a try. That's my ballast.
Not unlike having a high body compass reading where it's like, oh, that's my positive 9 or 10 versus this does not feel like that at all.
Yeah, yeah. And but so I think sometimes when I'm in the grips of the fear that comes in square three. So this is my perspective as a coach that I think challenge of square three is staying. Because
I want to pause.
Yeah.
Wait. Pause 1 minute. Which area of your life? What have we found out? You know, looking at what we found out about you as the client. Which area of your life are you talking about right now specifically? It may be obvious to everybody listening, but I want to make sure we're all clear. Which area is square
you
three?
Mean in terms of square three?
Yes.
When I talk about square three? Building my business.
Yes.
Yeah, building my business because as
and
it relates. Yeah, it's a good call because.
I want to pause on that because when you talk about your family and your husband and your boys and the tournament and all that, that's got a very different feel to it.
Yeah.
So when you talk about them and actually you talk about your husband and the, oh, we love to dream together. It's like you're in, you can tell me where I'm on square four with that. That is kind of in this luscious place, and you're going to keep it alive because you love to dream together. You love to anticipate. You love to do these things with your husband, which throws you into square two together, which then you can continue to reinforce kind of that lusciousness that's there with already with your family.
Yep.
But your business is more in a square three realm. And so through everything that Michael led you through, it's like, oh, the business is what's in square three. The business is what gets you all excited in a different way. And I love that Michael paused and said, okay, wait, describe to me in detail what this is, this business, this work that you're doing. Because that's where we get some real insight of where you might hit the anxiety, where the anxiety might come up, where the roadblocks might come up, where you know Michael as a coach or where me as a coach would work with you to work through that. So does that all land?
Yeah, that lands exactly right. Like I kind of think of myself in as trifecta, well, in many ways, but wife, mother, and professional woman. And so definitely as wife and mother, I'm in square four now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really solid about that. And even on hard days, I'm still in square four. But as it relates to the kind of professional woman aspect, kind of I'm still in the stretch phase very much in square three. And one of the things that's interesting about if you were to ask me, if Michael was my coach and he were to ask me what I was interested in building, it has never been an empire. What I'm interested in building is quality of life for myself, for my family, and for the people who collaborate and work with me in this business. And so this ideal day is very much an illustration of the quality of life that I have been successful in building, not just in terms of for me and my kids and my husband, but also for my colleagues. So that is an affirmation for me.
Yeah. So I interrupted you. Carry on. I wanted to pause and just make sure that as everyone listening to this is leading your clients through the ideal day, is you can carve out specific pieces now to work on with your clients.
Yeah.
So
Michael, your original question was, you know, it doesn't feel to me like there's something, quote unquote, to work on, but that it's kind of more about allowing. So the only way that I would finesse that is that I would agree that there's nothing to kind of specific to work on. I feel very confident about the future that I'm heading towards right now today, but in future sessions when I brought challenges to you, that this shared conversation would be very useful to me for us to reground in. You know, like you could say, take yourself back to that terracotta home. You're standing by the fountain and looking over the valley. Now let's think about whatever this challenge is through that state of being.
Right. Because that's what's going to help bring it about.
Yeah.
And as I was listening too, I mean, what's I think fair to say to the people listening is I do know a little bit about you. I do know some about the work you're doing. So there's background information that's not right on the table here for everybody else to see. And I might start to explore if we had more time questions like how is your experience with your kids and time spent with them like your ideal day, and how is it not like the ideal day? I might do the same thing with, you know, you describe your business and being in the office and to tell me more about what it's like right now so that I can have a better understanding of helping you move into that ideal day.
And there were some things, like the office was different. It really surprised me that part was spunky. And there's some parts I felt a little bit more vague about. Like I felt like I was grasping a little bit when you asked me, you know, what is this project you're working on? What's that about? So that was kind of interesting. Like that would be kind of cool to continue to explore that. to get a little bit more sense my way, a little bit more into exactly what it is I wanted to be creating from a work perspective, and even more importantly, how I was articulating what that value was.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have a question for both of you. When you lead people through the ideal day, is there anything like things that you see that you look out for that are typical in ideal days? Like sometimes people see things that they totally weren't expecting to see, or depending on what your niche is, has a big impact on the type of ideal day they have because they're coming to you for a specific reason. Or, you know, I'm thinking about new coaches learning to do this, and I'll very often the ideal day is about, you know, starting their coaching business, and that's embedded in there. So I don't know how to clarify my question, but any themes or anything that you would suggest that coaches look for, or pay attention, or understand?
I don't know that there are themes, but there are themes about how I tend to maneuver through leading through the ideal day. I absolutely loved what you did ending the ideal day, ending in that place of calm and solid, calm, solidness and comfort. I usually, when I start the ideal day, and Gretchen, I may have learned this from you actually, is that I have the client not open their eyes, but tell me what their feeling state is when they wake up. So it's very similar. It's just I tend to start with that rather than end with it, but I kind of like ending with it. And usually those feeling states, then I look for clues of how that they might be bringing those feeling states to themselves in their ideal day, and then how we might go ahead and bring those feeling states to them now. I mean, that then might involve some homework, you know, of how can you bring that sense of freedom and excitement and calmness, you know, to you right this minute. Or for Gretchen, you know, how do you bring that state of calm and solid comfort right this minute, so that they can go ahead and start attracting it. So that's one thing I do different. If I've got a client that's really in square one, square two, and is just starting to dream and kind of has just dissolved this belief that they don't know how to dream, you know, and we're really kind of playing with it, I might spend some more time in the very first part of the morning. I like that you didn't do this with Gretchen, by the way, because she is in square three. Square three, square four, square two in a little bit. But if I've got somebody that's really kind of learning again, reminding themselves again how to dream, that I might spend some time, you know, exploring their senses. What do you smell when you wake up? What do you see? What
color is the paint
on the walls?
Dave, that's funny you say that, because I there was a few times where I interrupted Gretchen, and I was like, why am I interrupting? She's doing it already. but the thread is that I'm so... with people who are new to this, and yes, just like you said, it's where to you really have to often help them along. So that's a good point.
Yes.
To make.
Yes, and Gretchen didn't need this, so you met the client where she was. It was perfect. But you know, I might, and sometimes homework is to go buy paint that is the color that you happen to see on the wall in your bedroom and paint your bedroom. I mean, it could be something like that. You know, what do you hear? What is in your closet? I might pause and throw in a little living space tool in there. You know, if you're standing in your closet to get dressed for the day, what's in there? Does anything surprise you? When you go to the bathroom and you look at yourself in the mirror while you're brushing your teeth, do you see anything different? Is your hair longer? Is your hair shorter? You know, things like that that kind of can help them really sink into it viscerally from, you know, a sensory perspective. So it really is dependent upon where the client is and what kind of access I need to use to get in to help them move through whatever it is they're moving through. That might not answer your question, but that's really...
No, that's great.
Yeah,
I think I would just add that it was the bookending, I think, of the feeling states that really worked, because in the beginning when I wake up, it's about anticipatory feeling states, and then at the end, at least in this particular one, I had arrived at the feeling state that I wanted. So it was great, I think, to have the contrast. Javo, because to your point, I do often begin that way. And one of the things I do, especially with clients in the early stages is I almost think of it like one of those virtual tours of a house, you know, where you have that fisheye lens on the camera. And I might ask them questions like, what do you see near the front door? Because that's a staging area for a lot of people. So a lot of times you'll find things there that surprise them, like whose shoes are by the front door sometimes will be surprising. If they stay there in the home office, I ask them, notice where your inbox is. What's in the inbox right now? If they take me in the room to begin with. But I think about, like, what might you find in whatever room they're describing, and then ask them a question about something that's in likely to be in that room. I had a client once who said she went out to the garage and she was really surprised because she had an SUV in the garage and she doesn't drive an SUV. And so I asked her, look in the rearview mirror. Whose stuff is in the back seat? You know, like to kind of start to give her kind of a way to explore some of what she was seeing. And like Javo said, often asking, sometimes I'll ask them what's in their closet. And I'll ask them, what are you surprised is not in your closet?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or at the end of the day, you might ask, you know, so what are you surprised is not in your day? Or, you know, because it's so easy to notice what is there. So that's kind of how some of the things I look for. And I really listen to their tone of voice to notice where they're really confident about something. Like you can hear it in their voice when they're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing X, Y, Z, versus when they're guessing at something. And I do nothing other than notice that, and I might ask them at the end, where did you notice that you were sure that something was there, and what does that tell you, kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
So a couple of other things to throw out to note are wigs, wildly improbable goals, and vision boards are often things that we can assign clients as vision boards kind of as homework or to talk about wigs to help bring goals into reality. And as far as Gretchen's session, you know, I don't think she thinks this is wildly improbable to go on the trip that she's talking about, but that kind of fits into, oh, wow, to me, I call that a wildly inspirational goal when it gets to where it's really probable. Still a wig, but just change the word. But is that might be, oh, that's the wig. You know, she's in square three in this other place, but there's something, and she can see the house and the view of the house. Maybe that's, I don't know if Gretchen, if you're a fan of vision boards or not, but that's the making of a little vision board, is to find images that match this vision that she has, if the client's up for doing that kind of thing. So just throw that out there because that's something we talk about at the end of Ideal Day is how do you tie it into homework, how do you tie it into future work, and wigs and vision boards are definitely two of those things. Did anything else stand out to you, Michael, as far as like homework or where you would take, if this was the end of the session, where you would take Gretchen?
Well, I just kept tracking the sense of this calm and freedom. Well, not freedom, but calm and groundedness and the deep relationships and that she kept talking about with the kids, with people at their game, with her husband. The only place I contrasted that with is before we got on the call, we were talking about, you know, Gretchen was sharing with us how things were right now in her life. And but I heard it kind of compartmentalized into the space of this particular week. So I might go and ask her, you know, look for ways to start to bring more of that into the present. And that's where I guess I would go with that. What I was thinking, though, or I wanted to share, was because I was thinking that as she was talking, I was comparing what she had told us before the session started and while it was going on. I almost wanted a couple times to ask her, how is that different than what's going on for you right now? And I was like, no, because that's totally going to pull her out of the future space that she's
so
in right now. Okay.
Yeah.
So I will.
So you can ask her now. That's perfect.
I'm looking at time, but that is what I would ask. So, Gretchen, I have to think about how I want to frame this question. Is there a big contrast between now and those deep relationships that you want to make, both with your kids and with friends and family at the field, the sports field, and work. I guess we could go to any one of those categories.
No, actually, there isn't in the contrast. The difference between now and then is now it's episodic. I have moments like that.
Right.
And then in my ideal day, it is my everyday 24-hour life. Javo, you have three words, and it's so weird because I can remember two of them, and I can't remember the middle one, and they were my words. So one was calm, and the last one was comfort.
Solid.
What's in the middle? Solid.
Solid, yes.
Solid, yes. That's weird because I kept thinking strong. No, it's not strong. Stable. No, it's not stable. It's the solid. It's the solid that's missing. So I have moments, for sure, of calm and comfort, and it's the kind of consistency that is in my ideal day.
Do you have any idea of what's preventing you from a greater level of persistency or consistency now?
Yeah, because I'm in the... I haven't grown my business. I still have to be on site. It still has to be me on site. And so I have this revolving door. And when I'm on site, I can be calm and solid and comfortable. And when I'm home, after I've settled in, I can be calm and solid and comfortable. But the interface between those two worlds is rough. And it needs, yeah.
So, yeah.
Was that a boom?
That was a boom. Like, you just now got
like
your whole impression.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how, and we won't
interface.
Do that here on this call because of time and stuff. But, Mike, I mean, yes, for everyone, that's how you get your next session right there, is you pinpoint those limiting beliefs. I have to be on site. Maybe that's true, but wow, that sounds like, you know, could meet, you know, be... can dig around in that some, you know, and then also this transition period, square three, right?
That interface, what just hit me too is that interface might be a really great place to do a metaphor tool.
How do you keep calm, solid, and comfortable even moving through the revolving door?
Yeah.
Oh, great metaphor tool. Yes.
Cool.
Awesome.
Hey, Gretchen, thanks for opening up and being such a wonderful client.
You know, I thank you. Thank you both. And I really loved in Brené Brown's work, you know, she says you don't just be vulnerable with everybody. You're vulnerable with people who've earned it. And so it felt really good to be able to come to a session like this and feel really good because dreams are babies, right? I mean, to me, they're vulnerable and beginning and they need room to grow. And so to share them openly and out loud is, for me, a vulnerable feeling. And so I just really appreciate that I could come and do it. And you both just created such a welcoming environment, such a wonderful, warm incubator. So I really appreciate that. So
thank you.
Great job, Michael, and great job, Gretchen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. So, cadets, you got something here you can play with. Go forth. Have fun. Experiment. And come back and listen again.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right,
y'all.
I'm closing it out. Thanks, everybody.